And we are going to turn to the book of Genesis. Last Sunday, Dr. Ladigan shared the first message in this series about how we value and hold the Word of God in high esteem as we read it, as we believe it, as we obey it. And as I preach this morning, we're preaching from God's Word. This is our ultimate source of revelation of the Lord God and authority for how we live our lives and obey, how we expect and let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts. So this morning I want to talk about what we believe about creation. And though I'm not going to go into great detail because we've done a series on that already not long ago, I do want to highlight a few of the points that are in our statement of faith and what we believe here at the Westlock Gospel Chapel. How many of you are having trouble with flies coming in your house this time of year? Okay? Lots of flies. Flies love to come into your vehicle. Have you ever noticed when a fly gets in your car, it never wants to go out the window again? I've often wondered, in my strange brain, when a fly is sitting on the dash of your car and you're driving down the road 100 kilometers an hour, does the fly know it's going 100 kilometers an hour? What goes through the mind of a fly? I suspect very little. But that fly sitting on the dash of your car at 100 miles an hour has no clue how fast it's actually flying. Now, hang on to your seats. Right now, at this very moment, at 55 degrees latitude, we are spinning at 595 miles per hour. Right now, 595 miles per hour. Hang on, you got your seatbelts on? Do you feel it? Do you even think about it? That's just the start. Do you realize that as we orbit the sun, right now, we are going 67,000 miles an hour around the sun. Do you feel it? Have you been worried about that? That's not all. Do you realize that as part of the galaxy we live in, the sun and the earth and the planets going around the sun, we are orbiting around the dense center of our galaxy at some 447,000 miles per hour. So don't blame a fly on your dash. You see, there's things go on. There's things happening that we're not even aware of. We don't even consider it. One of the reasons is because you and I right now, sitting in these chairs, sitting in this building, sitting in the Westlock County here, everything is going at the same speed. We don't notice the difference. I am told that if the earth suddenly stopped spinning, it would be like a 595 mile an hour head-on collision. And everything would shift. Aren't you glad the earth is spinning? Who did that? Who set the earth off spinning at that speed? At just the rate so that every 24 hours we have a daytime. Who did that? Who got the sun and the planets orbiting around the church? The sun. I feel like there's a lot of orbits around this church. Anyhow, who got that going? It's our Creator. Our Creator. Our God who is all wise and all knowing has this all going. And so, we want to talk about that briefly this morning. Now, hang on. This is going to be a high-speed message too. So you got to listen fast. When you look around yourself and look around, and in fact, how many of you have a phone with you? Don't pick it up. How many of you have a phone? When you look at this phone, what does the phone automatically say to you? That behind this amazing little instrument that's been developed, there has to be a whole team of designers, creators, architects. Did this phone just happen by accident? Did somebody take a box of parts and pieces, shake them up, throw them on the table? It'd be worse than a Scrabble game. No, there's a designer and a maker behind everything. And as we look at the world around us, we see this. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. The revelation of God begins in the scriptures with the eternal existence of God and his divine power in creating the universe. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Psalm chapter 90, verse 1 and 2 says, "The Lord, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." So if you have your Bibles, we're not going to read through these first two chapters. You can do that, but I'm going to make reference to them. Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2. In less than 1,500 words, the scriptures give us the origin of all things. Now, the purpose of this Genesis account in Genesis 1 and verse 2 is not a detailed biological essay. However, when biology and all of the related fields around it are studied from the perspective that there is a designer and a creator behind all that we see and enjoy around us, then that study becomes an ever-increasing study of the minute design and function of how this whole universe all fits together from the micro to the macro, reveals incredible design of God. And you know that modern science, as they get increasingly into more and more complexities of how we're made, how we function, and all of those details, modern science is having greater and greater trouble understanding how this could have all happened by chance. It's too complex. It's too minute. I'm not a scientist, but there's just a few of the general things that I think are so amazing. Basic things, the way God created things. Like, for instance, the distance we are from the sun is perfect. Some days we feel like we're a little too close. For about 6 months of the year, we feel like we're a little too far away. But it still sustains life. How about this? The pull of gravity is just right. I don't know about you, but about 6 o'clock this morning, I still felt the pull of gravity. Right? But I'm thankful that by God's grace, I could sit up, stand up, and walk, and have the freedom to do that. The pull of gravity is just right. How about the 24-hour rotation of the earth? It's just right. We have enough hours of the day to get some tasks done, and then we have enough hours to take some rest. If the earth was turning much faster than this, your days would even be shorter. Now, you think days go by fast now? You know why? Because your day is coming at you at 595 miles an hour. That's why the days go by so quick. But you know, the 24-hour spin is just right. Even the fact that, we rotate around the earth, and we have around the sun, we have our seasons and all of those different things. It's wonderful. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12 and 13 says, "God has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and has stretched out the heavens at his discretion. When he utters his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings the wind out of his treasuries." So, our church handbook, which gives us an outline of our basic beliefs that are within those pages, says this about creation. I'm going to read it. "The biblical record of creation is foundational and a defining doctrine of the Christian faith. This doctrine is part of the revealed purposes of God that forms our whole belief system." Then there are 6 points. The first point is this. Number one, God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them in 6 days. Brief comment on this. The Hebrew word for day could have three different meanings. The word is yom. Three different meanings. One of them is the portion of 24 hours that we call daylight. All right? How many of us say this expression, "The days are growing shorter"? Right? It means the daylight is growing shorter. That's one meaning. The second one is that word yom can mean a period of time in history. For instance, one of the expressions in the Bible is called the day of the Lord. As we look forward to Christ's return, his prophetic return, it's called the day of the Lord. But it's not necessarily 24 hours. It's a period of history we're looking forward to that's going to come. But the third meaning of this word is actually a 24-hour period of time. And here at the Westlock Gospel Chapel, we read Genesis chapter 1 and interpret it from the perspective of this third definition of the word yom, that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 24-hour periods. And you go, oh, that seems crazy. But you know what? That's what God's word says. We're choosing to believe that is the truth. And one of the things that helps back that up is later on in the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel are in the wilderness going from Egypt to the promised land, God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. And in the commandment about the Sabbath day, he says this, Exodus 20, beginning at verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. What kind of a day is that? It's a 24-hour period, right? 6 days, six 24-hour periods, do your work, but on the seventh is the Sabbath to the Lord. But then it goes on to say, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. So from that passage and others, we believe here at the chapel that the world was created in those 6 days. Taking the genealogies of the Bible record and the 24-hour use of the word day, biblical creationists hold that the creation is literally 6 days and perhaps approximately 6,000 to 10,000 years ago. We do not explain our existence through using billions of years of random chance in order to explain our existence here. Many, if not most, of the biblical implications of creation are lost if we add billions of years to our understanding of the existence of all things. Now, again, we're not going to take time to unpack that much more than that, but this is where we stand. Number two, point number two, God created everything by his powerful word out of nothing. Over and over again in Genesis chapter 1, you see God saying, and God said, let there be light, let there be, so on. Psalm 33 verse 69 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. God did not need to use pre-existing material, cells, or cosmic dust. He is spirit in eternal existence. R.C. Sproul has said, although there was no pre-existent material out of which God ordered the universe, it is not as if there was absolutely nothing. There was no substantive or physical reality, but obviously there was always God himself and his spiritual reality. And he spoke. He spoke things into existence. Point number three, it says God's creation was good, in fact, very good. Psalm 102 verse 26 says, 102 verse 26, the earth is wearing out like a garment, yet God remains the same. The original creation was very good, although we see that it is starting to wear out and wear down. Even the law of entropy tells us that energy, when used, always goes to a lower level of energy. Can you imagine, as God created the universe, and as it says here in the book of Genesis, he said, everything is very good, that the perfect creator is also in charge of quality control, and at the end his statement says, very good. So we have a wonderful creation that God has given us. Point number four, God set humankind as stewards over his creation. Genesis 1:28 says, then God blessed Adam and Eve, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Genesis 2 verse 8 says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he formed. So this morning, I believe that we are being obedient to God as we are good stewards of the land. Those of you involved in agriculture, in all of those details, really, from that all the way down to how we take care of our yards, our gardens, but even more so how we use the resources around us are all a part of this being responsible to the Lord. Point number five, human sin brought death into this picture, as we find in Genesis chapter 3, and we will talk about that more as we understand what we believe in the weeks to come. And then lastly, Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again in order to triumph over death and to redeem all creation back to its original purity. Again, we'll speak more about that. I want to just make some comments now in the rest of the time that I have available here. Well, one more thing it says in our handbook. The Genesis account is to be taught as recorded in Scripture. God's established order is that all animal, plant, and human life should bring forth only after their kind and not evolved or changed species or developed from lower to higher forms through interminable periods of time. Basically, we are saying that there was no evolution from one species to another. Adaptation, yes, from species within species, but nothing in between. And we believe that God created all things according to their kind. Okay, now some applications for this. As we have, as I've considered this and as we've considered this, I believe that there's some important things. First of all, for us to believe and accept biblical creation requires an act of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is the chapter in the Bible that recounts the stories of many, many people who have faith in God in our past generations. But you realize it starts off by saying that even for us, we must be heroes of faith by our understanding that God is directly involved in the creating and sustaining of this universe. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." As you and I hold by faith to God's direct involvement in the creation, we are included in the chapter of Hebrews 11 as a hero of faith. We are choosing to trust the Lord and put our confidence in Him. Now, the scripture is so full of references to God being the creator, and I just make reference to just a couple, three of them here. Psalm 8. If you want to read that sometime, look at it. Psalm 8. "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, you who set your glory above the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" What we see around us is but God's handiwork. Psalm 19. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." No matter where you are in the earth, if you are willing to say there is a creator who has designed and made all of this, you will begin to see the creation speaking to you of the details and wonders of our creator. You will be able to see small things, big things, large things. I believe as well, when we have faith in our Creator, it gives us the freedom to then know who to be thankful to. Soon we'll be coming to Thanksgiving season, and that's not just a one time of the year event for us, but even at the Thanksgiving, as we join with the rest of Canada, ahead of the U.S., by the way, that's the one thing we're ahead of the U.S. in, as we join together to give thanks, we know who to give thanks to. We give thanks to our Creator, the one who's given us all things. Psalm 95, verse 4 says, "In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." It's worshipful as we understand he made all things. The Psalm chapter, or Proverbs chapter 22, verse 2 says that the rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. As I consider the thought and the teaching that we have a creator, we serve and worship a creator, what it means is no matter where we are in any walk of life, we have this in common. The Lord is my creator. The Lord is your creator. The Lord made me in his image. He made you in his image. It's a great commonality. It has nothing to do with race or economic status or the country you live in or the language you speak. But the fact is, God's created us all. What a wonderful basis from which we can begin to build relationship with so many people around us. Understanding our existence by the Creator helps us encourage all people to seek their Creator. Isaiah 40 says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And yet we are encouraged to seek the Lord and to call out to him and to understand him. So it gives us a great opportunity to be able to share with anyone. Let's seek the Creator. Let's turn to him. And we can use creation as a witness in defending the truth of how we understand God and how we worship him. Even the book of Job, the oldest book in the Bible, we find there are a couple of incidents where creation is referred to as a key witness of the Creator. For instance, in Job chapter 12, Job himself speaks to his friends and he says, "But now ask the beasts and they will teach you, and the birds of the air and they will tell you, or speak to the earth and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this?" But even then, as you read through the book of Job, even God himself arrests Job's attention and gets Job to understand the great difference between God's sovereign power and majesty compared to us as human beings, because he challenges Job in chapter 38. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said to Job, 'Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determines its measures? Surely you know." He's taunting Job. "You really know?" "No, you don't. You don't know the seriousness and the depths of all that the Creator has done." Now, folks, as I consider this understanding, and for me, it's always an ongoing thing too. I have to keep telling myself and reaching out by faith. We live in a universe and on a wonderful world that's created by God. Because I have to be honest with you, even as a child, the thoughts and the teaching was starting to become more prevalent, and even so much more nowadays, that we live in this secular world that's just all set in motion and it's all happening by random chance and so on. It's a challenge for us, but I want to encourage you, let us not let go of the basis of understanding that we live in a universe created by God. Because I sense in my heart that we're starting to see some really serious fruit coming out of a culture that has lost the understanding of the Creator, that is steeped in secularism, that there is no God, and he's not out there, and he doesn't care, and he doesn't know. We are starting to face some really serious consequences. In Western thought and culture, as the understanding of the Creator is being eliminated from the explanation of the existence of everything around us, and evolutionary theory is being termed as the absolute, as the truth, people are becoming bogged down in the mire of purposeless existence. If it's all by chance, then what are we doing here? What is life about? What's going on? If everything is by random chance, what's the chance anything makes sense? Mental illness and confused identity are becoming rampant in our culture. And I believe that one of the key reasons for that is we've lost clarity that there is a Creator who has made everything according to his wisdom, his time, and his purpose. If you want to use a verse of Scripture to help you see and understand the seriousness of what happens when a culture rejects God, always turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. That's a springboard that you can read and understand. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." And so on as the scripture goes. We are going and are facing serious ramifications because We have lost the knowledge of God, the truth of God, and even who we can be thankful for in our culture. When the universe is explained independent from a sovereign creator, secularism becomes entrenched. Professing life without God leads to the disintegration even of a basis of what's right and what's wrong. No human being can ultimately be held accountable for their morals and their actions if there is no basis from which we can make judgment decisions on right and wrong. Even the laws and our land, even justice itself, has become arbitrary. Beyond the creation, any sense of what is universally right or wrong ultimately points to the Creator. And furthermore, as we lose sight of the knowledge of God and His power, acknowledging the sovereign Creator, then even governments begin to no longer be held account for their decisions and how they use their power. History tells us that evolutionary theory has consistently been a tool of atheism. And evolutionary theory leading to atheism has been the tool of communism, allowing it to be entrenched. Because all aspects of God and of as a holy creator of the universe, along with the value of the family and the nurture of the family, along with the existence of the church that is here to speak and to teach the word of God, when those things crumble in a society and are turned away from, then ultimately culture can be led in any direction the powers that be want it to go. Because there's nothing that says this is wrong if we do not know God and His power. And so I want to just really encourage you this morning. What we believe about the Creator has great ramifications in how we live our lives. A little different point. I believe as well our understanding of the Creator and being made stewards of His creation should really frame how we use the resources of our planet. We often tend towards self-indulgence or careless use of the creation, or instead we tend to maybe worship the earth and the environment as our hope of salvation. No matter how we see that, let's realize that there is a Creator. We are here as stewards to take care of it, but ultimately it's His, and we will be held accountable for how we use and take care of His world around us. All right. Just a couple of thoughts in conclusion here. Our consciousness of living in a universe created by the eternal, all-knowing God will develop profound perspectives in our life and in our values. From Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 through to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, where we are invited into the throne room of God, in Revelation chapter 4, we see God being worshipped as Creator. In Revelation 4, verse 11, it says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." I am fully expecting that when we are in heaven, we are going to be singing songs of worship and praise to the Lord that will acknowledge His power, His wisdom, and His grace as Creator. Let's practice it now. Let's sing those songs with all of our heart. We worship You, God, Creator of heaven and earth, because we're going to be doing that for all of eternity. I believe as well that when we hold to the truth and the faith of the Creator God, that we will be able to have hope and courage in these days in which we live. Psalm 33 says, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Regardless of what we hear going on in the world around us, and all of the fear and all of the things happening with climate change and so on, let us remember that our Creator made this wonderful universe and this planet that we live in, and it says it stood fast. It's in God's control. Yes, we need to do our part in wisdom and so on, but ultimately it's in God's control of what's going to happen. even the little things that we experience day by day. Psalm 76 says, "The day is yours, the night is yours also. You have prepared the light and the sun. You have set all the borders of the earth. You have made summer and winter." I don't know, but I find that fall is my favorite time of year. And some of you have said that to me in recent days here as well. The fall is our favorite time of year. But you know what? As we're moving into this fall season, let's realize it's part of God's design. We're enjoying His design. Here at 55 degrees latitude, at 595 miles an hour, we are enjoying the seasons. God made it this way. So as the season rolls on, just say, "Thank you, Lord. You created this to be for us to enjoy." For those of you out harvesting, for those of you who are bringing produce in from the garden, Genesis 8:22, after the flood, it says, God made the promise, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease." So no matter what you are experiencing in your life, the challenges, the obstacles, whatever, remember, ultimately, God is in control and we can trust Him. And it gives us a chance to be able to give testimony of our hope in the Lord. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." That may be referring more specifically to the aspects of salvation in Christ, but I believe that one of the things that we can share and live by is the hope that we have a Creator, we know Him, we understand Him, and He's holding this whole ship together. He is the one who's in control, and we can trust Him. So at Westlaw Gospel Chapel, we hold to the truth that God created all things, and that Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 are the framework by which we begin to understand the eternal existence of God and His power over all things. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as we sit here, feeling like it's very still, feeling like we haven't moved an inch, Lord God, but in this last half hour, we've already traveled more than 350 miles spinning on this globe. But Lord, it doesn't disturb us because you created it to be this way. And Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful, Lord. Thankful for the sunshine and the rain. Thankful for the seasons. Thankful for the harvest. Thankful, Lord God, your provision for us. We're thankful, Lord God, for every good thing you give us, the food we eat, the water we drink, Lord God, the air we breathe, the rain that falls, Lord, the days of sunshine, the evenings and nights to rest, Lord, all of these things are gifts from you. And we, Lord, acknowledge you as the giver of every good and perfect gift. Now, Father, I pray that you will guard and protect us from, Lord God, a secular understanding of how everything existed. Protect us from, Lord God, falling prey to that and the fruit of that kind of mindset. Instead, I ask, Holy Spirit, remind us today, remind us this week, to look and see the hand of the Creator in this wonderful universe that you've put us in. And then, Lord, give us freedom and encouragement to share those words, even if it's just attitudes of thankfulness, with the people that we meet around us. I'm so thankful for this beautiful weather. I'm thankful for, Lord, the warmth, for the sunshine, for the rain. Lord, give us voices of thankfulness that give you honor and glory. Lord, may you be glorified as we are people who understand from the book that we worship the Creator, the Lord of the whole universe. To the glory of God, I ask it. Amen. I'd like to ask the worship team to return. We're going to sing one more song.